Join me in Ephesians chapter 5, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5. And you can leave your Bible laying open right there. We're not going anywhere else today. In fact, we're just going to look at one verse, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. It's even on the slide around me, but I wanted you to turn there because before we look at that one verse, I want to be sure that we properly set it in its context. Being the good Bible students, I know that you are, you know the value of context. And before we start cherry-picking verses, we need to be sure we understand how the author is using it. And so I want us to be careful to work the context a little bit. So let's read a segment of this. We'll begin at verse 15 and go down to verse 21. Read this with me. Paul writes, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." So that's this segment in which verse 15 is found. So if you will now look at verse 15, notice that the first word there is therefore, right? And because Randy is sitting here, I feel like I need to call your attention to therefore. How many times have you been sitting in a class where Randy's working the text and he asks you to notice that word? It's often an important word in the text in that it invites us to look at what's gone before we start looking at what's coming. That somehow what's already been said influences what's about to be said. And so, because Randy is sitting right here, I think we need to think about therefore. I want you to do that with me. He's going to talk to us in verse 15 about our walk. You see it? Be careful. Be careful how you walk. And yet Hunter has already demonstrated this morning that that is not the first time that Paul has thought about and talked about our walk. Back up to chapter 2, Hunter worked from there during the Lord's Supper this morning. Remember that? The early verses of chapter 2, how it describes all our awful predicament and sin. And then he emphasized, did you notice that? Verse 4, but God. And that's sort of a pivot point where Paul goes on to celebrate for us what God has done for us in Jesus. And I'm glad you read this, Hunter. You're letting me off the hook. I don't have to read it this morning. He's already put it there for us. So look down at verse number 10 where he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand." There it is. Do you see it? "So that we would walk in them." So do you see it? He's been thinking about our walk, this new walk that we are to have in Christ. And so because of what Christ has done for us and because of what we become, we walk in a different way. We live a new life. And so in verse or chapter 4, verse 1, will you look there now? Chapter 4 and verse 1, we have this admonition. There it is again, Randy. Therefore, it just pops up everywhere, doesn't it? Therefore, looking back on chapters 1, 2, and 3, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you've been called." Do you see it there? Because of what's been done for you in Christ, there's a walk that we ought to walk. There's a life that we ought to live. And Paul urges us there to live that life. Now notice, it's not going to look like the life we used to live. It's going to be different. In verse 17, are you there? In verse 17, he says, "So this I say to you and firm together in the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." So there's a walk we abandon that we when we begin to serve Jesus. And later in chapter 5, he would urge us on the positive side to walk as children of light. And so one of the things that you see in the latter part of Ephesians in 4, 5, and 6 is this contrast that Paul develops between that old man, that old walk, which you were, and this new person we become in Christ as we walk as children of light. And as I thought about that, it occurred to me that we actually see that idea again and again in Scripture, those two different approaches to life. Jeff, I thought about Psalm 1, that introductory to the rest of the book, right? Where he talks about those who walk in the path of the wicked and those who walk in the law of the Lord. It's the same contrast we see here in Ephesians. He tells us there in Psalm 1 about the choices they make and where that path ends. And we're urged to choose the right path. Well, I think the same thing is happening here in this back end of the book of Ephesians. We are urged not to walk in darkness, but to walk as children of light. So, now that we have that in front of us, will you look back at this verse that's on the slide behind me? This is the context in which Paul sets this statement. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. It's actually an idea that he's been working throughout this letter. And with that in front of us, I'd like for us to think about this verse. I'd like to make four observations about the verse this morning. Four observations, and I'm going to build around four words. You know that I like to do that, and I like to do that because I hope that it will stick with you as you go out the door this morning. Maybe when you're shopping at Walmart on Monday morning, you'll remember three of the four. If we can accomplish that today, we'll be doing good, okay? So I'm going to give you four words, and we're going to work four ideas around each of the words, and I hope it will help us as we try to walk as children of light. So the first word, as I look at this verse that I want to give you this morning, is I want to give you the word options. And the idea I would like to build around that word is this. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 makes clear that as you and I go through our life, we have options. We choose the way that we're going to walk. We choose the path that we're going to take. None of us are living out some kind of pre-programmed plan for our life. God didn't figure everything out for us and we just sort of go along with his program. In fact, what Ephesians makes clear is that just the opposite is true. I choose my path. I decide how I'm going to walk. And I think that is a remarkable thing. Because remember back in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, the passage we looked at a minute ago, it makes clear that after God rescues us and cleans us up, brothers and sisters, he has a plan. He has a plan for your life and mine. There is a way that he wants us to go. There is a walk that he wants us to walk. There are things that he wants us to do. And as the creator, he has every right to say that with the expectation that that is exactly what we will do. In fact, he has the power as the creator to compel us to do that. He just could have made us all robots living out the programming that he had in mind for us. And yet that is not what he did. Instead, he gave us the capacity to choose. Look again at the verse on the slide behind me. Therefore, be careful, he says, how you walk. So we have options. But not many options. Not really. We really only have two options. I know life doesn't seem that way sometimes. I love listening to graduation speeches, as long as they don't go on too long. And I'm not talking about the speeches that a faculty member or an administrator might make. I like listening to the kids' speeches at graduation. I love those. They're just so filled up with optimism as this young person gets up and talks to his fellow graduates about the road that is in front of all of them and all the different ways they might go through life. And you listen to a speech like that and you think, I have a lot of options. And I suppose from one angle that's true. But from another angle, it's not true at all. There are only two ways to go through life. And actually, that's in our verse. Do you see it? Look back at Ephesians 5 in verse 15. Or look on the slide behind me. Listen to what he says. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. And now you have the option, guys. Here it is. That'd be a great graduation speech, wouldn't it? Hey, be careful how y'all walk. Don't be a fool. Be wise. End of speech. I would applaud for that. It's the same thing we see in Psalm 1. There's the path of sinners, and there is the walk that is in the law of the Lord. You're thinking of Matthew 7, aren't you, where there's the broad way that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to life. We find that all throughout Scripture in all kinds of different ways. Jesus said in Matthew 12, he who is not with me is against me. One does not gather with me, scatter. I think that deserves some thought. I mean, some really serious thought in our quiet moments of contemplation. If there really are only two ways to go, which way am I going? That all may seem obvious. But I will tell you, brothers and sisters, we are really good at muddling it. We set out when we choose Jesus to walk with him, but the other path is still there and we can see it. And sometimes we are deluded and find it inviting. And so we're drawn to it and then we dabble in it. And before you know it, we're trying to walk in two places at one time. I have a dear friend who did that at the highest level of anyone I have ever known. This man was one of the most faithful disciples in the congregation I was working with at the time. He was in every way, and from everything I could tell on Sunday morning, he was walking in the light. He served our church as a deacon. He was heavily involved in the work with the young people. He had two young people growing up in the congregation there. He was a committed Bible class teacher. And I'm going to tell you, he was good at it. I sat in his classes and I watched him work with the kids and the passion he had for helping him learn the will of God for their lives. And so he and his wife became real close with Heidi and I because we were all invested in working with the kids. And on Sunday, I just didn't see anything that would say anything other than this is a guy who's walking in the light. But on Monday, when he left the house, he took another path. And folks, when I say to you, he took another path, I don't mean that he was dabbling in sin a little. I mean, you think of the worst, most awful things that someone might go out and do, and that was him, just involved in unspeakable wickedness. He was on a completely different path, trying to do both at the same time. You want to guess how that worked out? I'm telling you the story. It didn't. So maybe what seems obvious sometimes needs to be restated. There are only two ways to go. And we are doing one or the other. And anything other than a choice to walk with Jesus is the choice not to. perhaps this would be a good place to add that our choice about the path is not just something we make one time. There is that moment, right? Some of you have experienced it right here in this baptistry. I've watched a bunch of our young people make that choice this year, stand before this crowd and say, I'm choosing to walk in the light. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. And they were immersed in water for the remission of their sins. There's a deciding at that moment, isn't there? Jesus said, or Paul rather says, we are raised to walk in newness of life. There is a new life taken on when we choose to follow Jesus. But at the same time, there are thousands and thousands of decisions that are made over the course of life, little choices that I think actually tell the story of what path we're on. In fact, if you read the back end of Ephesians, start at chapter 4 and go through the end of the chapter, he sort of spells out what some of that looks like. If you're a husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Be kind and gentle with people. Speak the truth. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Obey them even when they're not looking. The little decision that really describe the path that we're on. In fact, I would suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that it is the little choices, day by day, that I think, well, they say whether or not we're really sticking with the first one we made. I don't want to be misunderstood about that. Let me put some balance on the other side. I'm not suggesting that if you committed to follow Jesus, that you're not ever going to mess up along the way. Because the truth is, some of us didn't get to this point this morning without making a bad choice and messing up along the way. But I would say this, and hear me on this, please. As I go through the course of my life walking in the light, I ought to get better and better and better at doing that. And the truth is, if I'm just continuing to make bad choices and not getting any better than that, it may be time to go back and say, have I really chosen the Lord? Because we choose our path. Okay, I need to move on and give you another word. The second word that I'd like you to ponder with me after options is the word better. Can you see where that's going? Because while I say to you this morning, we have options, the truth of the matter is we really don't. Because one of the options is so clearly better than the other. And Paul really maps that out for us in the back end of this letter. He will talk to us about the other way. We've mentioned that briefly. Look back at chapter 4. Do you remember this? Chapter 4 and verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluding from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And look at verse 20. But you did not learn Christ this way. There's the contrast. That other path is just wrong in every way. It is not what the Creator has in mind for us. It entangles us in sin and the mess and grief that comes with that. Jesus would say, at the end of that walk is destruction. Same point the psalmist makes in Psalm chapter 1. In the end, the wicked perish. When you get your mind around that, there cannot be a sharper contrast than what we have when we walk in the light. It's what the Creator wants for us. We are pleasing Him. In Psalm 1, there's this beautiful figure. Those who walk in the law of the Lord, we're told, we're like a tree planted by streams of water. What's the figure there mean? It means that those who are walking with Jesus, they just thrive and grow and do well. And then again, back in Matthew 7, Jesus said that that is the path. The only path where we find life. So we're not dealing, when we say options, we're not dealing with equivalent options. This isn't like shopping for a car, where you go look at this model and it has these features, but there are these things about it that you don't like. And so you go and you look at this other car, and I like some of the things it has, but you know, it doesn't have some of the other features I would like to have. And so you're kind of working with two equivalent models, some liabilities, some benefits in both of them, and you kind of got to choose. This choice is not that way. This is a choice between an option that is obviously the right choice and the other is obviously the wrong choice. And we got to be careful we're not deceived about that. Because brothers and sisters, we have loved ones who have been. They've actually come to believe that there's a better way to go that doesn't involve Jesus. There's a passage in Ecclesiastes 8 that has just stuck with me, and I think is relevant right here to what we're saying. In verse 11, the wise man says, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. But then in verse 12, he adds this. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, for those who fear him openly. But it will not be well for the evil man. And he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. One of the things about living on the back end of life is you have the opportunity to actually see that map out in real lives. It's not just theory. It's it happening, people. So years ago, Heidi and I had some very dear friends who went through a bad spot in their marriage and end up getting a divorce. One of those just ugly, ugly divorces. And in the aftermath of the divorce, it was interesting. They both chose opposite paths. In this case, the husband was determined to continue walking in the light. And I will tell you, doing that really presented him with some obstacles. For about a decade, his life was just trying to recover from the mess. And there was lots of it. And he stuck with it, and he stayed close to God, and he leaned on his spiritual family. And I have to tell you, after about a decade, things kind of began to turn from him, and his life really, really got pretty good. Sadly, his precious wife, she just chose the other path. She turned on the Lord and turned away from him and walked in darkness. And I can't begin to describe you the awful mess that her life is today. That's one of the things that really stinks about getting old. You can see that. And so I will tell you, it is a burden to me to watch people leave the path and to choose the other option. Like when young people go off to college, all along having been taught to walk in the light. You guys are going to be faced with this choice, and it's coming real quick. I'm sorry I freaked you out, Mom and Dad, but it's still true, right? It's coming. You're going to have to decide, am I going to walk in the light? And I worry about falling in with a crowd of friends or being influenced by a professor who tug at you to get off on that other path. I grieve over that. You grieve over that because we know where it's going. I've got a son on that path, and it breaks my heart because I know that the writer of Ecclesiastes was right. It is not going to end well for you. We have options. brothers and sisters, one of them is clearly better than the other. Right in every way. So, third word. I want you to think about that word in the text. Be careful. It is a serious matter to make our choice about how we're going to go through life. And so I think we need to hear the word of caution that Paul is giving us here. Be careful about the path you are choosing. Part of that, I think, involves being afraid about veering off. It's sort of like that new device that they installed on cars, the new safety device that tells you when you're starting to get out of your lane. I hate that because I didn't pay taxes just to drive in one lane, okay? I bought a car, first car I ever had with that on it, and I tell you, the car fussed at me all the way home. I got to the house and I called back the dealer and I said to my salesman, tell me how to turn that off because I don't want someone telling me when I'm getting too close to the line, when I'm veering out of my lane. Now y'all don't want to be anywhere near where I'm driving, I know. But I need that in my walk with the Lord. I don't want to wait till I've blown up my life in some mess. I want to know when I'm veering. I want that bump. I want that nudge. You know where that comes from, brothers and sisters? You're only going to get that if you're in the book. And I need to listen when the book is bumping me and saying, hey, you're getting out of your lane. You got to be in the book. And secondly, I want to be sure that I'm making the choices that keep me on that path. And that's another piece of this. It isn't just about not veering off. It's about getting in my lane and staying there and doing everything that goes with that. And so again, I'm talking about the back half of Ephesians, stuff like being submissive to my husband or loving and honoring and cherishing my wife or obeying my parents or being forgiving, just whatever's on the list. You know, we need those moments in the book where we're looking at that saying, is that me? Am I holding a bitter grudge? Am I cherishing my wife? I need to be nudged to think about that. Because I need to be careful about how I walk. You know, I remember before the days of GPS, there were days before GPS. Do y'all remember the days before GPS? When you were going somewhere and you had to use a map, it's a paper thing that has roads on it. I can remember Heidi and I driving somewhere in the middle of the night trying to get through some city. Y'all remember doing this? And trying to look at the map and look at the road. Are we on this road? Are we on the blue line or the red line? Which one? Y'all remember doing that? I need to inspect my walk. I need to look at the map. I need to look at the map carefully and make sure that I'm on my road. I'm walking in the light. Finally, last word. I want to give you the word own. See where this is going? Because the last thing I'd like you to think with me about is our responsibility to own our path. If what we've said so far is true, and we choose our path, then that means I need to accept responsibility for where I am in the journey today. And y'all know why I need to say that. Because as a culture, we've developed a high level of skill of not doing that. We've become adept at the blame game, of figuring out why my problems are someone else's fault. And so I am where I am on my journey because my parents and what they did, or because the boss that I have to deal with, or because of the government. What do you want to put on the list? Of the many problems with that approach, may I just offer this observation? When you get done with the mental exercise figuring out why it's somebody else's fault, you're going to wake up and still be in the mess. While I'm busy blaming everyone, I'm not fixing anything. And so I need to own my path. I am where I am because of what I have chosen to do. As I thought about making that point emphatically, it occurred to me that there needs to be at least a little balance put on that. Because our lives are certainly impacted by other people that we intersect life with. So if you're sitting here today and saying, listen, my parents abandoned me in my childhood, that'll have an impact on your life, wouldn't it? And I'm not trying to be dismissive about that. Or if your husband or your wife left you with the children that you had to raise, that has an impact on life. That affects me. But can I frame it another way? It puts a choice in front of me. When life throws me a curve, when bad things happen, again, I have to decide. What am I going to do with that? How am I going to respond? Like my friends who divorced, am I going to use this crisis to draw closer to God and lean on Him? Or am I going to get angry with Him and push Him away? What will I do when life is difficult and unfair and I suffer and I'm persecuted and people mistreat me? You stole my thunder this morning, Scott. Did you listen to the prayer he prayed? And those bizarre words? If I have this correct, in this prayer, Scott described the blessing of having people among us who suffer well. And we are blessed, Paul, to have you sitting here. And Matt, they teach us as they sit in these chairs to suffer well. Thank you. We need to listen. Vance Havner said that life is the sum choice total of our choices and their consequences. So rather than wasting time finding someone to blame, why not invest our time in choosing something different? That is the wonderful thing about being a preacher. I always get to share good news. And the good news this morning is that we get to choose. So I don't know who I'm talking today who may be in a mess, a quiet secret mess that nobody knows about. I will tell you, you were there because you chose the mess. And the good news is you can choose not to be in the mess. Maybe someone who still carries the whole burden of sin because you haven't shared in the good news Hunter shared with us from Ephesians chapter 2, that God in Christ rescues. You could choose to have that this morning. Or maybe you did, but along the way, you've made a whole score of little choices that are a whole lot more about darkness than light. And maybe you're in a mess this morning because you've just done some stuff that wasn't what Jesus wanted you to do. I was going to say dumb stuff, but that sounded kind of harsh. But it is. Ephesians 5:15 says it's foolish. But you can be wise. You can choose today to be on a different path. Thanks be to God that we get to choose. And so today we hope you'll make the choice to come to Him for the first time or to come back to Him. That's where you are and you're ready. We want to help. You need to respond. Make your way down to the front right now. While we stand, while we sing this song together.